Welcome to the Fit Life Podcast, connecting a clear path between the media and science to empower our listeners to live their fit life. I'm Kurt Solquist, your host, coming at you from Core Fit Inc., our gym in Spokane, Washington. We offer everything from personal training, group classes, nutrition. We try and strive to help people live the whole health lifestyle. Obviously, we're filming this podcast about living your fit life, and that's exactly what our motto, our philosophy is with Core Fit Inc. and our programming that we do. We want our members, our community that come to Core Fit to feel empowered to do anything in their life. Fitness should never be a question, whether or not you can go for that hike, whether or not you can run through your yard and chase your kids around and build an igloo like I just did a couple days ago. We've got tons of snow here in Spokane all of a sudden, and winter finally came here in February. But it's about that. I mean, that day I was up at 4 a.m. shoveling snow out at my house. I got to the gym at 5 a.m. I had to shovel out our parking lot at our gym. And then again later that day at 5 p.m., by the time I got home at 6, I was fairly drained. But my kids wanted to play, and I got the shovel out and continued. Well, one, I had a shovel again at my house, and I used that snow this time to pile it up and build an igloo. And I had an amazing day overall, looking back at that and knowing the accomplishment I did, taking care of what needed to get done, and then being able to come home and play with my kids and do something fairly physical at that point and have the energy to do it. That's what it's all about, guys. That's what makes this worth it. If you're looking for a community to empower you, to inspire you, Core Fit Inc. is a great place. And if you're not in our town, I encourage you to find, even in our town, find another gym. It doesn't matter. Find that community that's going to help you live your fit life, inspire you to get up and drive through the snow, get to the gym, and make that your routine, your habit. It's a lot what we talk about today with our guest DJ and Darren Solquist on our podcast. It's a great podcast, a great one for inspiration, a great one for those of you guys struggling with your fitness, and maybe you've been on that roller coaster. This is about staying on top, getting your goals set, and getting yourself surrounded by those people. Because number one, that's going to be the biggest thing. Get yourself around the people that already have that normal in your life. They're already doing what you want. That is their normal. That's how you make it your normal. All right, guys. The Ultimate Fitness Run, June 15th on Mount Spokane, is coming at you. Obstacle course race. It's a great race. Check it out, ultimatefitnessrun.com for more info. If you guys are coming from out of town, Best Western Plus here in Spokane is offering 15% off for their hotel. Just mention the UFR. All right, guys, let's get on with it. Let's get this podcast started. All right, welcome to the podcast, guys. So I've got Darren here coming back for number two.
What, what?
And welcome, DJ, first time on the Fit Life podcast.
Hello.
So today we're going to talk about DJ's journey. Darren's been a big part of that, which is why we've had him here, at least part of his return back with Core Fit and everything. And you know, I'm trying to think back the first time that I met you or worked with you. I think was at the Paulson building where I originally was started off when we started out with Core Fit. And you guys had a Team St. Luke's thing going at your organization, right? Or were you coming in on individual at that time?
Individually,
yeah. To our classes.
I think it was about, it had to be like 2009-ish, 2010 in there. Because, was it 2007?
When was it you did your marathon?
When I started getting into shape was 2008 and into 2009. And then I think a little bit went by and I was a runner. Mm-hmm. And then I think sometimes I went with Darren. You were in that one room up above. Not up above, but the one where it was really tight.
Yeah.
That we
first base.
Yeah. So I went to them sparsely in those few times. And then when you had that other space, and I went to some of those, but it was off run, it was hit and miss. And
now, you were running, yes or no, at that time?
I was. See, there's a before when I did it, and then I was a runner, and then I, when I kind of declined and went back out of shape, I came sporadically when you were down there, and so it's like, I'm getting the years mixed up, but somewhere in there, All I know is I did go when you were in the Polson building. Mm-hmm. I remember doing the stairs. Then you moved into that room and we still did a lot of stairs. And then I remember only when you moved over here, I participated in helping you get this set up.
Yeah.
But I didn't join.
Yeah.
I scavenged all your lumber from your
walls
here and stuff. But I painted. I helped paint.
Yeah.
It's just a couple times here and said, hey, come over and help do this. And like, all right. And I was hee-hawing around. And it, you know, at the time, money was an issue too at that time. And that was another
I think when you first got started, I think it was around 2010 at the Paulson building. But you started your running before that. We were working together like at St. Luke's. And then there was a time when we talked where, you know, you'd have your donut at lunch all the time. And that's when I said, okay, DJ, that's what's your goal here? Let's get in shape. And then from there, you just took off. You stopped. You got your last donut at the end of the year. And then you went on your diet, which you're very... When you get focused on something, DJ, when you have that carrot in front of you, you focus. And you're very... To me, you're very inspirational. Because I remember you and I think Jessica went out to lunch. And I was going to get the rice and you opted for the salad instead. And I was like, man, look at DJ getting the salad.
Yeah.
So I got the salad.
Well, the thing that helped me too was that leading up to it, Darren was prodding me 2000, because I met Darren in 2005 and I think a couple of years in the Darren sarcasm and the...
I call it love.
The body of saying, you know, you need to get on it or you're just going to exponentially just keep gaining weight. And then a mutual friend of all of us, George Goldsmith.
Yeah.
I started working out and I didn't really work out with Darren much because he either went earlier and I got there later, but I started working out with George and he got me into it. And then there was a person at St. Luke's. I was getting into shape and I became friends with her and she invited me to go running and I found a good workout partner with her and I ran a lot and she said, well, why don't you do Bloomsday? I was like, man, I don't know. And because I was had a lot of self-doubt and at that time I didn't know I had wind. Like I didn't know I had the ability to do it. And so I ran Bloomsday. And then I kept exercising and running with her and going to the gym regularly. And then I did a half marathon. Then I did another half marathon. And I only ran three half marathons before I did a full marathon. But needless to say, I got myself into such good shape. I was lean. I was like 167 pounds. I don't know what I am now, but I'm not that. And
what's the heaviest you've been?
The heaviest I've been is 230.
230.
230.
And you're
maybe two.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'11 and a half. Yeah.
What you know, what was your alter ego? What do you call that alter ego?
Oh yeah. So one of our mutual friends at work, Becky, I had this idea that if I went down to the cafeteria to eat, I would identify what the old Dave would eat, and that was the acronym was Todd.
Yeah.
T-O-D, the old Dave. And the new Dave. So I would say, well, the old Dave would give like...
Todd,
Todd would get 3 pieces of pizza, and the new Dave might get a salad or something, you know. So
yeah.
So there you go.
You know, and that's cool, because the book that everybody's been getting turned on to right now, The Atomic Habits, and that's one of the things I talked about where I just actually listened to this chapter last night, that somebody that quits smoking, when somebody offers somebody a cigarette, says, oh no, I'm trying to quit, where that person still identifies themselves as a smoker because they're trying to quit, versus the person that says, you offer them a cigarette and say, oh no, I don't smoke, they identify themselves as a non-smoker. And that's where I think the old Dave and the new Dave comes into play, where you are going through that yourself of what would the old Dave do, because you're identifying now with the new Dave, who was at lean and in shape. And what was the lightest you got to? So you went from 230, the old Dave, Todd, to the new Dave. What was the lightest and the best shape that you were in?
All right, let me give it a timeline here. So at the time back then in 2008-ish when I started, there was the other thing that helped. I got to throw this out there because you were there too. But that they were doing the Biggest Loser.
Oh, that's right, at the gym.
And, yeah, not at the gym, at St. Luke's.
Oh, okay.
So the other, there was only 10 of us, and it was a $10 thing. And, you know, I wasn't as knowledgeable about the diet and stuff, but I remember this girl said, David, you should join this Biggest Loser. And I was the only guy in it. And I remember at that time I was 218. So back then I was 218, but the heaviest I've gotten is probably over 230. Yeah. So we'll leave it at that. But and I remember the first week I lost like 4 pounds, and it probably was water weight. But to me, in my brain, I thought, you know, in a week I went to the gym and I thought, oh, I lost 4 pounds, so I got to make this entry. So we weighed in every Wednesday, and you know, I would every other week it would be like, oh, I lost 2 or 3. Next week, 4, 2, 3, and it just kept whittling away. And from January to April, being with George, working out and move up, or you know, up north, you know, I won the contest, and I got down to like 180.
Yeah.
But then this friend that I made at work, I started running with her, and I just exponentially just started shedding and shedding and shedding. And my diet back then was I did veer from the carbs. I wasn't totally void from them, but I just know that when I got off the grains, it did me wonders. And I ate a lot of another thing, identifying the habits of saying, well, the old Dave would get a hamburger and fries, the new Dave get a hamburger and the salad. And it was things like that. So I didn't deprive myself, but I did eat pretty healthy back then, and I ate a lot of, I did the protein, and when I veered away from the carbs, because I'm pretty sure I have some intolerance in the gluten whey, or I'm pretty sure it, you know, puffs me up, the grains.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so the lightest ever was 167.
Wow.
I had it down to 5'11". Science, 5'11 and a half, and I remember, you know, it was nothing to go out and run. It's nothing to run a half marathon. I always tell this story about running, and I was a traveler because I was a therapist traveler. I went away for a while, and I was running up this logger highway over in Shelton, Washington by Tacoma and them. And I remember running, and when you can sing and talk and run at the same time, you're doing good. And I had this, you know, when you're in a state of flow, things just, you're like, everything is like,
state.
I remember equating it to the biker, what's his name?
Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong. Right. I was like, holy, like I'm there. Like this is nothing. And I'm running uphill. I run like 6-7 miles uphill and downhill. I come home and have supper. And so, and then the half marathons, they're enjoyable. The full marathon's pretty full speed.
Brutal.
Yeah. But getting to the motivation part, if that's where you're going to lead next, where were you going to go?
I'm definitely interested in that, yeah. Curious. So, I mean, let's come back to that, because, I mean, ultimately, that's my own, like, doing this as part of my journey, my experience. The most important part is what truly is the best way to motivate people. What makes the factor of the person that's able to start and stick with it versus the person that starts and veers off and has the roller coaster, and which I know you've dealt with. So what I'm curious actually is, I hear so much positive momentum right now. Excellent feeling. You described something that I think is so important for people in this journey is discovering your abilities. You said you didn't realize you had the win to run 7 miles, Bloomsday, let alone go to the half marathon distance and beyond. So when you felt that discovery of like, wow, in the flow state, another incredibly important, powerful experience.
It was flow. It was genuine flow. I remember feeling like, and I had my headphones on, I was singing, like it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun's going down, and I'm running up this hill. I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is nothing. Like, but, you know, it, like I said, I was going to stop being a runner because I went through this thing with the shin splints and my IT bands. And at the time, when I first started running, the person that I was running with, she kept telling me to buy some running shoes as I was running in cross trainers.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little naive, and I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
I should have.
Yeah.
But
you put it on miles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Knew your body.
Yeah. Sorry. You just went out kind of like a lot of people. You just started running. You didn't really have any other training. you just had a running partner, so you weren't really working on your gait, but your sequencing of your run, and you're just kind of going at a pace, and getting your shoes, obviously you didn't think about shoes.
Oh, I got better at it though. Yeah. Once I got the running shoes, I don't think I had any issues with my form later on. I think that came along
with. Yeah, but what was that like when you got into that zone where you felt like you actually, I mean, I think that's phenomenal to get to that zone, that flow state you said, and the compared yourself to Lance Armstrong, like to think of an elite athlete.
Well,
from where you started, and it's like, man, I'm like, this must what be like Lance Armstrong feels like.
Well, okay, there's another perspective here too, another aha moment. A mutual friend of ours that worked at St. Luke's, I remember my brother got diagnosed with diabetes, and at the time I'm doing pretty good, I'm in shape, so he was kind of like, well, you know, you might get it too, and I got a little concerned, and I was talking to this dietitian, and he knew I was in really good shape and doing all these running and stuff, and I emailed him, and he wrote me back and said, you know, you're an athlete. And I never thought of myself or had this.
You never identified yourself.
No. He kind of said, you're an athlete. You don't have nothing to worry about. If you just keep doing this and running, and that's the first time I thought. And I kind of thought, well, I don't know a lot of people that, well, in the, unless you're amongst and in the gym or at the, on a running club or something, that can go out and just, you know, run and do that. It takes some energy out there, you know, so, and I did it. And so that's the first time I kind of thought, wow, I guess I am an athlete. I'm lean. And, you know, a couple other for the motivation thing, because we got to get to that. And, you know, we're digressing.
You're fine. Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking of the thing too that was significant is, this is unbelievable, but we had the blood tests at work, you know, and I remember, did I think my cholesterol, it wasn't over 200, but it might have been like 195. So in about a 6 month period, it dramatically dropped to 147.
Wow.
So the funny thing about it is, you know, animal products versus going green and stuff. You know, I was eating a lot of protein, but my blood cholesterol went down.
Yeah.
The other thing about it, unbelievable, I think 13% muscle mass. Now that's pretty lean, I thought.
13% body fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said that wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. That's wild, yeah. DJ. That's huge.
Yeah. So I remember a few instances where, I remember I came home one time and Darren typically doesn't remember things. He's like, oh, I don't remember that or whatever. I came home to visit him and he was training his dogs, and I remember him kind of like, you know, I was like in raw, thin, like, are you sick, Dave?
Hey, are you okay?
There's a couple people at work that, yeah, they're like, are you sick, Dave?
Yeah.
No, I'm really in good shape, because, you know, but like I said, got down, lean, you know. So anyway, as far as motivating people, what's a couple things for me as far as goals go, back then or now, like, I'll just start with where we, Darren and I work, and the people we work with. You know, we work with a lot of people that, you know, number one, they're unfortunate, and they're older, all kinds of populations, but people are sick, whether they had a heart attack, stroke, other things, yeah, you know, just obesity related, or just things that lead
the patients you attend.
The patients,
right?
Yeah. So, you know, that's a lot of motivation too. And I was thinking about this last night because I knew we were going to get together. Like, I was watching this thing where this guy was talking to this gentleman that they were at this restaurant and they were eating like, you know, 3,000 calories each or whatever they ordered at lunch. And the guy was a grandpa and his son and grandson. And he was kind of saying, you know, would you ever think about trying to change your habits or stuff? And, you know, a lot of people say, ah, you know, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Well, I got news for you. In our modern day, you don't just go, especially with modern medicine in our modern day. What I mean by that is, if you live if you eat, if you don't diet and exercise, you're going to be on the decline, and especially gaining weight, because obesity and diabetes run parallel together. But the one thing I think it's funny when people say that, because you don't just go. What I mean is, you don't just die. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have a stroke. If you're lucky, you might just tip over and die. Good for you. But you're going to live, and guess what? Somebody's going to have to take care of you. So, in a way, if you have this attitude, it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Well, you're probably not going to just go. Somebody's going to call the ambulance, and you're going to be in a rehab.
Yeah.
And you're going to be sick, and you're going to be crawling out of a hole that's really hard to get out of.
Yeah.
So that's huge motivation for me, because there's a lot of people that think that mentality.
Yeah, and some of those people might be thinking, geez, I wish I would have got myself in shape when I was younger. And sometimes, I mean, you're never too old to start down that path of wellness.
It's true. Even if you were 70 and you quit smoking, it would still do you good.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I think, DJ, with, you know, where you and I work, that we have that ability to, one, obviously give back to others that have gone through something traumatic in their life, to get them back on that path of wellness and get back on that path of independence. But at the same time, I think we have that ability to lead by example, by being models of good health and be somewhat physically in shape, so we get to practice what we preach.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's a lot to be said to that. I mean, I can relate with the number of people that have told me, oh, this doctor, this person said to do that, but in fact, when, you know, that's coming from the person that is, you know, clearly maybe 100 pounds or more overweight.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of authority comes from the words that you're saying as a healthcare provider, when it's very evident that you aren't following these directions yourself?
Right.
So, I mean, if you haven't figured out how to motivate yourself to do these types of things, to accomplish these types of things, to implement these type of things, to prove that they work, then, you know, how can you help your clients, your patients that you're working with?
That's a big factor, Kurt, and that's where I think where you come into play a lot, to where you, again, if you go to see a dietitian, your dietitian's overweight. Is that who you should be getting your meal plan from? If you go to a physician that's telling you how to take care of yourself, yet they're, you know, again, out of shape, and they're not living that model of health, and they went to school, and they understand what healthcare is in food. And I think, Kurt, where, you know, you put yourself in shape, you're lean, you're muscular, all the exercises we do, you go out there and lead by example. And I think that's where people really should be getting their advice from, is looking to somebody that is living that model, living that life. And obviously they've done the research in it, they're following that lead. So get that experience. I mean, you're not going to go get financial advice from somebody that went bankrupt, unless you want to figure, okay, how did you go bankrupt? I want to make sure I don't do what you do. Yeah. But if someone's successful and they're leading the way, you know, and that's what I think CoreFit community is that we're all individuals that are on our own journey to learn about health, learn about dieting and meal planning and exercising. And that's where I think this community comes in, again, as evident by the pictures that you have on the website and evident of the groups that we participate in, which I discussed last time, that we're just all like-minded people. And that's what makes a successful community, to build yourself around people. And that's what, DJ, you know, with you and I being friends, that's what, you know, something I've always, you know, I consider you a great friend, that you're a kind, honest person. You speak what's on your mind. And that's where, you know, when I saw you kind of getting out of shape and like, watching you, again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to hand on this, but this was just the Todd having that donut at lunch every day. Yeah. And if it wasn't a donut, then it was a king size Snickers. Like, hey man, dude, it's time for you to get in shape. And then you just did it. And that's what I love about this challenge that we put in front of you, again, that you start coming to the gym and I say, hey, let's go do the beast. You know, I know you got the mileage, I know you got the distance in you, but now let's work on the strength. And that's the part where you motivate me, because of the work that you put in. I mean, even here at the gym, you come to the 6 a.m., you don't have to be at work till 9, but then you stay after the 6 a.m. class, you do that workout, and then you put another 45 minutes to an hour in to work on the other conditioning. not a lot of people have that will and determination.
They're ready to go, yeah.
Yeah.
But at least you got to give them credit for showing up.
No, everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I want to add on to that is that, you know, if you're out there and you are a practitioner or somebody that works in these fields and, yeah, you're overweight, you're not, like, no judgment. Everyone's got their situation that they're dealing with and everything. But the biggest thing is like, if you really want to bring that quality on top of your service or what you're able to do and help people change, the fact if you start to implement these changes, it can be more impactful for your patients and the people that see you.
Yeah.
Then, you know, okay, you just say someone like myself, you meet me, hey, well, this guy already looks like he's in shape. I'm sure he was born that way. You know, people assume that.
Yeah.
People assume this person's got it easy. They must, you know, it's just easy for them. I mean, I've had my genetic testing. It was really surprising, which was one of the cool things to see, the lifestyle, of how many genes I had that were actually putting me prone for obesity. More than half of the genes that they were measuring that were looking at these things were coming up that I had the genes that put me prone to obesity. So, I mean, that's a factor right there, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's more of the fact that if you are that person and you're overweight right now and you're thinking, well, okay, you know, this guy says that I can't do my job right. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying you will impact your patients on a greater level if you start showing them, hey, look at what I'm accomplishing. And I mean, it's just by the visual, what they're going to walk in and see every time, like, wow, you know, I haven't seen my doctor for 6 months and I walked in and this guy or girl has lost, you know, 30 pounds maybe, or 50 pounds maybe, or whatever it might be. Clearly this person's doing some things that are helping them and maybe I want to follow suit. And I think that's what you were just leading on to say there too, is like seeing, like the having those people, let's go to the motivation again, having those people, what is going to help you do that? And what I was hearing you say over and over again, which is what I keep coming back to. If you listen to our other podcasts, I probably almost said in every episode, a factor you have to live by, a standard, like this is a rule of life. You are going to be an average of the people you spend the most time with. Mm. And what I started to hear is you found this person that you started running with and you were running. You know, you were around Darren and Darren was hounding you when you weren't at your best.
He was the primary.
Yeah.
I would say that I always used to say, I mean, I was just content going home and eating a bunch of junk and watching the History Channel, but I think too, like, when somebody's starting out, and I always say this to my patients, I incorporate this. To me, the first, like fantasy football, if you win your first game, oh, I won one, then you're probably going to be interested in the second one, but you lose the first one, the probability of you like, I didn't do it, I don't care, you know. I feel like if people can get a couple of victories when they first start, and you know, to me, victory number one, showing up.
Yeah.
Two, you made it to two or three sessions. Like, and then having some, don't set your expectations too high and set some goals that are achievable. And
100%.
100%, and then you... Then, you know, but because it's intimidating. The one thing I love about this gym, and I've always loved about you, Kurt, and you, Darren, is that, well, I knew right away, too, that there's no intimidation here. What I mean by intimidation is that what you're going to go through is intimidating, but the people that are you're around and in and amongst, they are not intimidating. They're there to help you, and nobody judges. You know, you walk in, you're in, and people are going to help you succeed. And like you were saying earlier, if you surround yourself with, I can't remember the correlation you made, but
the people you put around yourself
are going to reflect on you. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, if the people, if you're the one person in your group of, let's say, five friends, and they're all going out there and they're running every day or going to the gym every day, and you're the only one not, you know, obviously, you probably wouldn't be friends with those five people or those four people, you know, because they're going to be doing their thing and you're going to be the odd one out. But then you start following amongst other people that are kind of doing the same thing. Like, hey, we all like to go home and watch the History Channel. That's my norm. Like, we can talk about our shows together. We don't need to go do anything physical. That's what's my normal in my life. I'm comfortable with that. And that's great. But that falls into the scenario of like, okay, what about in the later years? If I'm 40 years old right now, if I'm 30 years old right now and I'm struggling with my weight and struggling with walking up a flight of stairs, at 50, at 60,
it gets harder every year.
You still could have 40 more years at 60 years old, you know?
Yeah.
That age factor, I mean, they're talking about right now, we have people amongst us that are going to live to 150 years.
Yeah, medicine, modern medicine going on today, all that they're trying to do is prolong your life, and that's the thing that's hard is, that, again, I'm going to go backwards here a little bit, but, you know, talking about in the medical field, and again, not hounding on anybody if they're out of shape or they're not, you know, it's leading by example is for one, but two, the answer is, I'm just going to go to my physician and get put on this medication. And then that medication has all these multitudes of side effects, but it's easier to take a pill than it is to change your diet. And, you know, I think the other day on Motivational Monday, you talked about, you know, people think going to the gym is hard. No, that's the easy part. The diet, your meal planning, that's the hard part. When you go to the store, the way that our government works with our food process, everything they allow to go into our food, I mean, it's ridiculous that we have to hear on the news McDonald's or Subway sandwiches have yoga mat materials in them, or just that it's not even 100% meat. Like, you don't even know what you're eating. And then the processed food, and we wonder why we have cancer. Then there's stories out there about, oh, if you eat meat, you're going to get cancer. If you're going to eat eggs, you're going to get high cholesterol. But then 6-7 years later, all of a sudden, oh, no, that's not true. It's the other way around. It's like, what do you have to believe in?
Yeah.
And that's what's hard with the way things are run. It's all whoever's putting the money behind their product is what's going to get pushed. And this is where it's important to go out there and educate yourself. Find authors. Find people that write books. And read up on your own. And this is the thing where, again, I'm just going through this book right now, Atomic Habits by, is his name Adam
James
Clear?
Clear.
James Clear. Habits, 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 man. You know, the thing is, if we don't get that instant result fast, we go back to our old habits. We want to see something happen fast. That's why I think trying to lose weight or dieting is, if we don't get that instant result, all of a sudden we go backwards. And he talks about a study that they did with cats, where they put a cat in a box, and if they hit this button, the box opened and they were able to get out of the box and go get food. And I forgot how many numbers of studies they did, but they did the timing where the first whatever episodes, it took the cat 90 seconds before the cat got out of the box and got the reward. And then, but multiple times as the cat started to learn the habit, oh, if I push this button, the box opens, I go get food. It eventually got down to an average of 6 seconds that cat was in that box. And that's because of the habit that every time that cat got in the box, that he knew if he pushed something, that reward. But it took him a multitude of times. Like I said, at first the average was 90 seconds, and it finally got all the way down to 6 seconds. And that is just from that process of teaching your mind those habits. And I think I kind of talked about that last time of, you know, once you start getting stuff, making a habit, and then your mind doesn't have to think about that habit anymore, that leaves opportunities open for other things.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, if you guys are listening to this and you guys are struggling with some things, pick up that book, Atomic Habits. Do on Audible, whatever, so when you're driving in your car after you listen to this podcast, again, you're getting this information from this podcast. So keep coming back to this podcast for more information, The Fit Life, as Kurt talks about these things. Kurt does a lot of the study and research on these things himself, and that's what's cool, that he shares this information with us. And again, what you've been dealing with, DJ, those habits, that you start building those habits and the routines to where, again, those habits that are in our life, eventually we don't have to think about those things anymore because we just do them. And we can't even think about the process that we do to do those habits. But that leaves opportunity open to build new habits.
Yeah.
And that's what going to the gym is.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, if you miss 2 or 3 days, you're like, oh, I got to get to the gym because it's a habit.
Yeah. I know for me, I've got it down to a science now, the morning.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things, and people probably do this that are go to the gym, but man, when you get off work and you go home, the first thing you do is get that gym bag ready for the next day.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't eat. I don't do nothing. I just get all my stuff ready because you're going to probably be tired. You've had a long day. You got up at 5:30. You went to work for 8 or 10 hours, you know, and first thing I do is I always get the gym bag ready, get my clothes set up, and then just try to be prepared because you don't want nothing to like knock you off your horse. And you know, like if you can be prepared, if you just think a little bit ahead, and like I said, victories. If you have some small victories, then it's going to give you some stick-to-itness.
And right.
If you come in and you, you know.
Those small victories are super important. That's part of building those habits. Small and that's where, like you were saying, and it's underlined in what you were saying too, Darren, like somebody sits in there, and there's somebody I'm currently working on right now, working with, that is, you know, battling to get started with their goals. They've struggled to get in here and get the ball rolling. And they told me in our conversation, like, you know, I'm going to show up every week something comes up that gets in their way. And they said, I'm going to show up next week. You know, I've got 5 days planned to get to the gym. And I said, whoa. Just get here 2 days. Let's get 2 days.
Achievable.
If you get more than 2 days, if you get five, hey, that's three. That's more than double what we had planned to achieve.
Yeah.
We can start out with just 2 days. And let's say that's all you make. Well, you achieved our goal. If you set the goal for 5 days and you only were able to get here 3 out of the 5 days because there's been lots of obstacles getting in your way, now it feels like, well, I didn't get everything done that I planned for. It doesn't feel like a victory. Mm-hmm. So those little small steps, small victories, don't set the bar so high. Make the goal so easy you can't fail.
Yeah.
Even if it's, all right, maybe now like, okay, that's not working for me. I'm not even getting 2 days at the gym. Let's just say every day, first thing I'm going to do when I get out of bed, I'm going to put the yoga mat right there on the floor. I have to literally get out of the bed and step on the yoga mat to get out of my room. That's where I'm going to stop, and I'm going to do, you know, maybe one sun salutation. Maybe I'm going to do a few squats, whatever your goal is. Right there out of the gate. That literally takes you less than 60 seconds, okay? That's what I'm going to do every single morning for the next week. I've achieved that goal. Checked it off. Now I start to feel empowerment. I've actually accomplished the first thing towards fitness that I've been trying to do, which I've done nothing ever in the last 30 years of my life, maybe. That one thing you're doing is an accomplishment towards the right step. So instead of going out and saying, hey, I'm going to climb Mount Everest next week. No. I'm going to just climb the hill in my backyard. All I want to do is walk up that hill. Start with that. Do that enough, and then you're going to be ready to say, I'm going to go climb that hill across the street now. It's a little bigger. But I feel like I'm ready for it because I've climbed up this hill in my backyard a dozen times and I've got it down. So cross off those small victories, make them so easy you can't lose.
Yeah.
That's how you get started, momentum.
Yeah, and that's the big thing too, where people say, oh, I don't have time to exercise, I don't have time to go to the gym. So what do you have time for? And again, those habits. So what you're saying, get up out of bed, put that yoga mat next to your bed. That way when you step on that yoga mat, okay, I'm on the yoga mat, I'm going to do 10 minutes of stretching. Or same thing, just do 10 air squats. Every morning, get up, do 10 air squats. That first week, try to do 10 air squats. Who can't do 10 air squats? You go to your work, you're getting up and out of your chair all day. 10 air squats is going to take you 10 seconds. If you start that process, maybe the next week, well, maybe I can do 10 air squats and I can do 10 sit-ups. Or the next week you do 10, instead of doing 10 air squats, you just do 10 sit-ups for the month. Every morning you just gotta do an exercise of 10.
Yeah.
And then you build that habit. And you're like, you know what? I can do this. What else can I work in? And it's just working those things in and start going down that path. And I'm going to go back to that book at Atomic Habits again. This chapter that was impactful on me last night is, who do you identify yourself with? Do you identify yourself as a healthy person? Do you identify yourself as an unhealthy person? Do you identify yourself as a non-motivated person? Whoever you identify yourself with, and who do you want to become? If you want to become a healthy person, say, okay, ask yourself, what would a healthy person eat? If you go to the McDonald's, because you're fast-paced, you're trying to get something to eat, so okay, what would a healthy person eat? Would a healthy person get 2 hamburgers, a large fry, and a Diet Coke? Probably not. But maybe I can get a salad with no dressing, or I can get a chicken sandwich with no bun, I can get a chicken sandwich with lettuce. That's probably what a healthy person would do. What would a healthy person drink? Maybe iced tea or maybe water. Okay, boom. That's where you start. Ask yourself that question. Whoever you want to identify yourself with, what would that person do? If you're reading a book, trying to go to school, what would somebody that's a very studious person do?
And if you're identifying yourself right now, and this is the person that I hope is listening to this podcast too, is that person that says, I'm an unmotivated person. Would an unmotivated person be listening to this right now? Would an unmotivated person be accomplishing 10 squats as simple? That's literally a 30-second task at most. Would an unmotivated person accomplish 10 squats every day for the next 7 days? I don't think so. That's the person that wants to make change.
Yeah.
You start realizing, hey, I'm no longer an unmotivated person. I'm a person that's starting to change my health and make these improvements. And the thing you're going to find in that return, you find that positivity, that reward, that accomplishment, that returns as more energy in your life for other things you're going to do. That person that says, I don't have time, invest 2 hours a week. Once you get to this point, okay, we start off small. We're ready to come to the gym now. 2 hours a week. You're going to watch how putting in those 2 to 3 hours, if we get there, is going to start amplifying how much more time you have in the day, because you're going to be that much more productive. There's a little bit, it's an investment. There's a little bit of a loss at first. Yeah, I'm a little tired because I went to the gym today, but I'm not used to it. But give it 2 weeks and you start already feeling the dividends. You start feeling that interest growing. And you start actually having more time in your life. And all of a sudden, now the 2 hours you wanted to invest, you're seeing such a great return. You started making it 3 hours. And then that return, okay, what if I make it 4 hours, 5 hours? And that's how you become this person that's coming to the gym every day. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. And it takes time. Just like growing your stock funds, your bank account, whatever it is. If you keep investing, the interest will grow. This is something that doesn't fluctuate. This is a fixed term. There's nothing out there that's going to change the rate of interest that you're going to get from this return. This is your body's DNA. My hashtag out there, awaken your DNA. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You will get to the gym and these things will start to turn on in your body that have been dormant for years. You said it yourself, DJ. You didn't know you had the ability to run these distances. You turned on your DNA.
Yeah.
You awakened your DNA. Right. And through that process, you were able to accomplish and do more and more and more. And now coming back to here and getting back with CoreFit, you're knowing already, like, hey, this is in me. This is new challenges I have to do here, but I know I have the wind. Yeah. I can access that if I just keep pushing and keep pushing until I stimulate those genes.
Yeah. I was going to have another perspective of something that motivates you to think about it in another light, but I was getting to the idea of the, you know, if you get sick, you know, you might, you know, if you live a bad healthy lifestyle, an unhealthy lifestyle, and you get sick, you know, and I see, you know, I think there's millions of people walking the earth that, you know, that their health, it just doesn't affect them. It affects other people.
Yeah, your loved ones
now,
as well.
Now, I'm saying that, you know, if you are married or wedding vows through sickness and health, well, if this guy doesn't have live life, healthy lifestyles, you might be taking care of him. And, yeah, I guess the point I'm making is that, you know, you being unhealthy just doesn't affect the person, you, that's unhealthy. It's a trickle effect. Bigger airplane seats on the airplane, not to discriminate, but just pointing out that because of your bad, unhealthy habits that lead to your demise, and when you cannot, you know, if you can't take care of yourself, somebody has to take care of you, and then it takes more resources, and it, you know what I mean? So, and, you know, our healthcare system is not set up for people to have a stroke and just go somewhere and stay for free. Somebody's going to have to take care of that person and, you know, those things. So, again, I'm a true believer in the, if I hear somebody say, well, it's time to go, I'm going to just, that'll be my time. Well, guess what? You probably won't just go. You'll be sick. You'll be unhealthy. And it was because you had high cholesterol, you didn't exercise, you didn't eat healthy. You did these things that led to your demise, you know. And
I think that's what's hard too, DJ, what you're saying is like, you know, oh, you know, if you get into the healthcare and you think, oh, I have insurance, my healthcare will take care of that. You know, we work in the healthcare system. There's a lot of things that your insurance does not cover. And then people are like, what do you mean it doesn't cover that? And then now you got to fork over that dollar, which don't have that money. And that's what's important to just think about that. Just what change, you know, if you need to, what change can you make in your life just to get yourself down that path? You know, I'm on a journey myself of trying to really be the best version of me right now. And, you know, the old version of me, there was this path that was just, it's been created and I don't have to even think about it. I'm just walking down that path because it's what I've been doing for 48 years. But now with this new path I'm going down, I got to put down you know, what I'm saying, I'm just throwing a number out there, 8 cobblestones before I can even take one step. You know, I'm trying to build this new path. And as I build that new path, there's 8 cobblestones that I have to lay down first before I take that one step. And then when I take that one step, I got to lay those 8 cobblestones again before I can take that next step. And then I got to lay those 8 cobblestones again until I can take that next step, until that path can be built for me where it just becomes habit. I don't have to think about it any longer. But to make change, to put it at the forefront of my mind, if it's something I really want to do, I have to practice that. I have to flex that muscle to go down that new path that I want to go down, to be the best version of me, and to work on, you know, eating healthy and doing the right things. And, you know, I still struggle with that with my diet at time, and want to get this food or that food and try to stay strict for 5 days. Okay, I've been good for 5 days, so now, oh, I'm gonna have a treat. But eventually, as I go down that path, I'll start be able to get rid of that habit, and maybe, hopefully, I get something. I don't know yet. I still haven't nailed that one down yet, but I'm still working on that one. But I think it's, again, when you want something, or even the things that we have to do, you know, do we all want to go to work? No. But if we want that paycheck, we have to go to work. So those are the things that I think sometimes you just have to put in front of yourself. Those things that sometimes we don't want to do, but yet we have to do in order to survive in this world. I think that sometimes if you put yourself in that mindset, if I want to have a little bit better life, if I want to make things a little bit easier, maybe I should focus on a little bit of my health. What can I do for myself? That's giving back to yourself. Whether it's meditation, whether it's just taking 5 minutes to sit there and have quietness, to be one with your thoughts. Do 10 air squats, do 10 sit-ups, do 10 leg lifts, whatever. Really take a moment. If you guys take anything from this podcast, what can you do to give back to yourself? And who do you want to be? Who do you identify yourself with?
Invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself. Don't take a pill.
Your body doesn't come with any guarantees.
No guarantees.
None.
Well, guaranteed, like, right? We all die. There was a post, I think, that other day that says, I don't remember what it is. Something about dying and living or something. There's no guarantees. The only guarantee in life is that you're going to die, but you got to make the most of every day, because every day we live. So I have to look at that.
Yeah.
Scratch that. I get that point. I get that point, though. I mean, that's true. Every day you get is a gift. It's a reward. It's your opportunity to live your life. And that's why, you know, we call this the Fit Life Podcast. You know, I believe living through your fitness is living more, right? You're getting that opportunity rather than, you know, oh, geez, how did I spend the last, you know, I'm, you know, 85 years old and I'm watching sports on TV and I'm thinking, how did I spend the last 85 years of my life? You know, right here on this chair, watching TV, you know, or did I go out there and did I have some amazing accomplishments? Did I have these own personal discoveries in myself where I was out there like DJ and I found that flow state while running? I found the accomplishment. I can look at a hill and know I can run up that whole dang hill. It's a really cool thing, you know, getting into some distance running and cycling and however you do it, swimming, that you can look and be like, I just drove from, you know, maybe my work to my house is 8 miles, or to the next town it's 15 to 20 miles, and to realize, like, wow, I can actually run that far if I need to.
Yeah,
I did that for a workout.
Yeah, it was a good thing. It was, I remember it. And then I don't know if I got addicted to it, but I do know that I had that runner's high.
Yeah.
And just like I said, the flow state, like,
there's Lance, something Lance in your
Armstrong.
Body. Yeah.
Like, I was like, holy, like, you know, I kind of like, wow, you know, I had an aha moment, and like, I was at peak, you know. But I was just going to say, as far as, we haven't talked about, like, you know, people setting goals and stuff, but
yeah, I was going to ask you.
My goals, diet and exercise, show up to the gym, complete the beast.
Montana beast.
The Montana beast, Spartan. And then be able to wear some of the clothes that I haven't been able to wear. And that's it. Those are my 3 biggies right now.
Yeah.
Come to the gym, diet and exercise, complete the beast. There you go.
So since you've been on your journey so far, DJ, what how much weight have you lost so far, do you think?
You know, it's funny you should ask, because guess what? I haven't even been looking.
Yeah.
I have not went over there. I just know
Yeah.
my gut's going down.
Yeah.
I'm getting leaner. I'm probably building a little bit of muscle.
Yeah. And you can feel the workouts. You're starting to get faster and more endurance and stronger on your workouts.
Yeah. I have aches and pains. You guys hear me complain about it. But I'm a lot further than I was months ago.
Oh,
let's put it that way.
Well, just the other day when we were at work and we were in the therapy gym and I don't know who it was, a vendor or a therapist. He was like, man.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, one of the patients, right? An outpatient.
Yeah,
hey, look at you.
They noticed, yeah.
Yeah, he noticed.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think I'm leaving. That's how I'm getting my, checking my weight.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, you know. Then there's always, you know.
And even in the last week, I can think of two instances where you're like, I can't do that. And then you did it. Like that's too heavy for me, or I can't do this movement here. And then you know, just try it.
Yeah, there is.
Give it a shot. And you did it. You're already checking out things.
Some of these things
you didn't realize you could do right now.
Some of these things are advanced. It's gonna take a while to get there, but if you keep going, you'll get there.
Yep.
See, that's the way I feel. Like, you know, your body, it's like it's amazing. Like 1 or 2 days just of exercise, how it will make you feel. Your endorphins, man. It just a little bit of exercise, like that's what it feels like to exercise or something, or you know, it counts, you know. But yeah, so I'm getting leaner and stuff. I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm not full speed, and you know, I've conquered the getting up part of in the morning. That's good. And part of this is I just don't want to. I think I'm going to do a lot better in the morning, even though I come. I'm always kind of solemn and quiet in the morning until I, you know, I'm not mad at the world, but I'm just kind of waking up. And people talk to me, oh, hello.
Yeah.
How's it going, Dave? Huh? I'm trying to wake up. And then once we get going, then it's over before it's begun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's painless. It does go pretty fast. That's what I would tell people about this. Instead of you're going to the normal gym and doing your thing. An hour goes by fast and you've burned some calories. You've probably built some muscle. You've got your heart rate up. You got your endorphins going. It's kind of a warm up for the rest of your day. And I, for one, don't want to always revolve around the gym. I want to revolve around other things, other orbits. My own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to be free after I get off work, and I can, I got other fish to fry.
No, I mean, that's the thing I think has been impressive for me when you start coming, is like, man, you beat me here in the morning. He's like, man, DJ's here already.
Yeah.
You know, and you're already warming up, doing your thing, which is
kind of cool. Scheming against you yesterday. You didn't know that. I was telling Therese that I said, I'm going to give him hell because he's delinquent. He's chronically late. He always misses the warm up. He straggles in. Somebody else could have shoveled the walk. You could have done it when he got here, but he was doing that because he didn't want to do the warm up.
No, that's not okay.
Chronically late.
Chronically.
You could have come out there and helped me if you wanted to help me get out and do the warm up. You really cared about me.
No, it was funny because Teresa's like looking at me like, man, you ever notice how Darren's always late? He doesn't want to do the warm up. He just comes in and, all right, I'm ready.
Just kidding, bro. That's an RDJ, too.
Thanks, DJ, for being so honest.
But I've been planning ahead. I mean, like, today, look how much snow. I got up a little early, but I got here on time. I mean, I haven't been late. I've been prompt. I've been...
No, you're doing good.
I've been getting there.
You're doing good.
So anyway,
no, that's cool. I think one thing I'll throw out there is, you know, we shot a video and we need to do our next segment on it because I know you're going to blow it away. If you check our Facebook page for Core Fit Inc. and Instagram, you'll see we're doing little progress videos of DJs. He's training for his beast. So the first one we put up there was hanging from the bar, and I believe that first day, that was only a couple days in, maybe a week into his startup here at Core Fit. Where it was around 20 seconds, if I remember right.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
You would think I would be able to hold it a little longer.
You're
going to
crush that here pretty soon. So we're going to retest that. It's been about, what are we at now? Like 6 weeks or so of being here. So it's been about a month or so since we did that. So we'll check back in and throw a few other things out there, some training tips, show you some things we're giving DJ to prepare for his Spartan Montana beast. You can also go back to our last episode and check out how to train for an obstacle course race and at the Fit Life podcast. And lots of other videos, YouTube channel, lots of links on going through the obstacles, actual course footage. Darren and me shot last year at the Montana Beast, going through over 20 different obstacles, how to conquer those techniques and make them a little bit easier, less effort for you, and save you 30 burpees. So check back in at those things anytime. Any last things you guys want to throw out there as we wrap it up?
Yeah, my quote that I was trying to say earlier, so it was a Snoopy and Charlie Brown quote. Charlie Brown's sitting on the dock with Snoopy, and Charlie Brown goes, we only live once, Snoopy. And Snoopy says, wrong. We only die once. We live every day. So think about that, you everybody out there.
Perfect way to end it.
All right,
guys. Goodbye. Thank you. Peace out.